I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
We're Real Racing USA. You know, I still don't think you should have fired Bill the way you did.
Hey, there comes a time when you have to take decisive action.
Yeah.
And I felt it was time to take decisive action.
So you gave him a plane ticket to Las Vegas and...
That's right. One way.
Anyway, Bill, we miss you. I know you're listening.
One
Maybe
way.
Maybe not. So what are we doing tonight, Jack? Here we are.
Well, we got Doug Rose from the Green Mamba. You know, there was an article that appeared in the St. Pete...
I missed that.
St. Pete Times on Monday, and another outpouring of, I mean, just we were swamped with emails and people wanting to help Doug. Doug, and it was ironic because we had already planned to have Doug come back to give us an update on how the Green Mamba, because for people who don't know or weren't paying attention, it was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
Parts of it were recovered. People were arrested. He's been rebuilding it. Got a lot of help from a lot of people.
Kind of like we were rebuilding tonight?
Yep. Savethemamba.org.
Savethemamba.org.
And
I thought we were going to have to start savethe show.org earlier today.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're going to read some of the, just a couple of the emails that came in a little bit later.
Cool.
And Doug will be here with us in a little bit. Michelle Theriot has graduated from the Pro Cup. She's the Glock sponsored Pro Cup driver for the last
graduated
three.
Graduated to?
ARCA.
ARCA.
Actually, she's running ARCA, and she's running the Busch East, which is a series that a lot of people haven't really been paying attention to, but they're going to be paying
well,
attention
you
to.
Well, that Busch East, you know, we hear that a lot with these younger kids.
Yeah.
That the other thing we hear is the developmental guys who are doing whatever they're doing say, their next step is a Busch East car. So well, that'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Michelle, and... We're also going to talk to George Shaw, who's the owner of brand new owner of Boyd Speedway, which is, I guess it used to be called Boyd Speedway, and then it was called Tennessee Georgia Speedway. It's a dirt track up in North Georgia, and we're going to be talking to him a little bit later. We're going to talk to Ron Varney from the ASA. We're going to talk to whoever's calling me on my cell phone.
Call us at 941-748-3490.
Yeah.
Joe Cool is supposed to be coming in.
Yeah. Dalton Zier. And he's going to race in the this is interesting.
You were telling me a little bit about that before the show.
Dalton Zier is going to be racing in the ASA late model Southern Division race. It's the opening race. It's at Bronson Motor Speedway this coming weekend, the 17th of March.
Right.
Friday and Saturday. The show is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And Dalton Zier Racing is one of the sponsors, so we're going to find out what that's
all
about.
Yeah, but that's
about.
It's really cool what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're not actually...
Yeah. Boggy Creek.
Boggy Creek, yeah.
Camp Boggy Creek.
Right.
And we're going to find out more about that. Joe Cool and the gang, modifieds. We're going to get to the bottom of, like, what's pissing all these modified
what's
drivers
off Joe? I got
Florida.
Some emails from Joe Cool that are just...
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah, crazy.
Insane.
Travis Cope.
Goodyear Challenge Series.
Yeah, he won a 100-lap race at Lakeland, USA International Speedway. That was funny, and I had problems with my camera. The pictures I took didn't come out when he came into the winner's circle because the nose piece on his car looked like – it looked exactly like he hit a telephone pole. I mean, it was like perfect indented like it was a V there. And but he managed to survive a pretty nasty little wreck there at the end of the race, but he won that. Gary LaPlante with the Suncoast Street Stocks.
Street Stocks.
Yeah. Outlaw Street Stocks.
Outlaw Street Stocks.
Wild Maniac Street Stocks.
Don Ream?
Yeah, Don Ream's going to stop by a little bit later from the TBARA. He's the president of the TBARA. They got awesome. Friday night, they race at Ocala Speedway. In, this is all in Florida here.
Right.
They race in, at Ocala Speedway. Then they're going up to the half mile at Columbia Motorsports Park. And he also is going to make an announcement about they're going back down south to the swamps.
Yeah, I heard that.
And they might also be going to Georgia, too. That's on,
I heard about that, too. Yeah. He talked to me about that earlier in the
and
season.
And we're going to talk to Travis Wilson, who is the son of Rick Wilson.
NASCAR
driver.
Yeah.
And Travis is also one of the ASA drivers who will be at Bronson Motor Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you went up to Lakeland this past weekend.
Yes, I went to Lakeland to cover the Goodyear Challenge Series. The Hooters Pro Cup was also running. And but I was there focused totally on the Goodyear Challenge Series because that series in the last few years has not really gotten a lot of media.
Right.
And it's a really – I mean, we're talking top shelf stock car racing here, you know. And, wow, Bill, our new co-host just wandered into the studio here. And he's going to come sit down with us. And then...
Joe Cool just walked in.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Cool plays... he played for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was a forward.
Oh, I thought he played Herman Munster on the Munster.
You know, it's rare that you see a driver complain that he's not too wide to get in the car. He's too tall.
He's
the
owner. He's a car owner now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He's moved up in the world. So, as soon as our...
we don't have no more plugs for you, man.
We have no more plugs. So,
just for your microphone. I don't know if I got another plug for your
what, headset. Bill take him with him to Vegas?
All right, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You guys talk for a little bit. Let me
see
if I can find
your
plug.
Don't worry about it. It's good.
You good?
So we're not going to be doing a lot of talking here because we got a lot of guests and a lot of things happening here. How was your trip? You drove 90 miles an hour to get here.
I would have been here sooner if it wasn't for the state trooper that slowed me down.
Yeah. Okay. They have a habit of doing that. We have no idea how we're going to go through these guests tonight.
That's all right.
As we normally do. We came in tonight and we discovered, without Bill here, how extremely difficult it is on the technical end to put a show like this together.
The technical side of it got you all hung up then.
People have no idea how hard this is. This is difficult. So, you have something coming up that's kind of, yes. We're here at the Snook River Grill, Short Track America. Real Racing USA.
Every
Tuesday night.
2505 Manatee Avenue East.
Snook River Grill. And, you know, some jerk on the message.
Did you introduce our...
No, we're not there yet.
Okay.
One of the posters on one of the Florida stock car racing message boards not too long ago said something about... He referred to this place as just some old bar.
Oh, my. No, you know, that was fun. I remember that.
Yes.
Yes, I do. I remember. And then I think it was like 2 weeks later I came up here... And really nice place. So it's like I've been trying to get my wife to make the trip up here with the kids and everything because the food here is great. So,
awesome food.
Yeah, trying to.
They got good.
I'm not saying it just because you guys are here.
The food here
is awesome. So, but I do got something pretty cool coming up here next week on Tuesday at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. We've got the Fox 4 affiliate out of Fort Myers. They're going to be coming up. Got a big list of just local drivers.
That's a television station.
Live TV in the morning from 5 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning. People like Larry Ballard Jr., Chris Hatoon, who's actually been he's been hurt for a while, was in a motorcycle accident, back on his feet. He's got his new late model coming down. I don't know. Maybe I can get Gary from the Traveling Series to come down.
Good exposure.
Yeah, very good exposure. Live on TV. Got some sprint cars coming in from Cape Coral. Also, some of the Daytona antique racers are going to be coming in. And
you're going to have one of the most unique, I don't know what you call it. It's almost like a piece of art coming to that track. It's going to be one of the most unique things of any.
I can't wait to see this thing.
It is a helmet that's about 10 foot tall. It's about, 8 feet wide? Have you seen it?
I've seen pictures of it.
Oh, I've seen it.
I've seen pictures of it and people standing next to it. And it looks, from the pictures, larger than life.
Well, I'll tell you, when you see it, and I saw it, it's at a place where it's a big helmet, It's a old style racing helmet, say from what, the 50s or
right.
maybe yeah 50s. It's got the goggles on it, and it's being graphiced up right now, and it's basically going to be a tribute to Dale Earnhardt.
That's the cool thing.
Yeah,
because I can remember well. Charlotte, before I was even the announcer there, that track is my home track. My whole family's raced on it. I can remember sitting at home and getting the word that Dale Earnhardt had passed away. And it's like we just kind of loaded everything up. Nobody said a word. And we just went to the racetrack and sat. You know, so I think it's a great tribute to him. Plus, that's Dale Earnhardt's roots. Short track is Dale Earnhardt roots.
Yep. When you see the helmet, though, I mean, I saw it. It's just like in the back of a car place where they got cars torn all apart. They do all these real fancy cars, but you know, it's not like it was really. It's pretty impressive.
But we're going to do the dedication for that. That's going on Tuesday morning, the 20th, and inviting everybody to come out, whether you have a race car or not. Bring the family, bring yourself, come on out, have a good time. I'm sure we're going to have hot coffee. So. So just come on, have a good time, get on TV, get your notoriety, and be there for it, you know?
Hot coffee, but are you going to have Budweiser?
Oh, I'm sure Mr. Deal can arrange something like that. I don't think it's a dry county in the morning, is it?
Budweiser place right down the street.
Yeah, that'll be cool. That will definitely be cool. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get started here.
Sure.
Right? All right.
Let me see if I can do this.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Just commercial number one, take one.
Okay. Here we go.
Ready?
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number one open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker!
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips, like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out now!
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Real Racing USA Live from the Snook River Grill in Bradenton. We are in Bradenton, aren't we?
Bradenton.
Okay, cool.
Jack likes us to say South Tampa Bay.
It's because people don't know where, people in Illinois don't know where the hell Bradenton is, but they know where Tampa is.
You know, you were giving Jack a hard time last week, and I did this just in spite. I got to undo my suspenders here.
Hang on a second.
All right.
Oh, what's this? What's this?
He's got shirt
his nasty
car.
He's got his nasty car.
I thought we were
going to
get through
shirt.
This show without talking about nasty car.
Well, I was sitting there at the house looking at it, and you gave me one of the Karnak shirts last week, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna bust
all right,
his bubble.
So you open the can of worms. So before we get to Joe Cool and the gang about, well, he's minus his gang tonight, but before we get to that, I want you to tell me, explain to me the logic of why Jeff Gordon, just hypothetically, can put Tony Stewart in the wall on turn four with two laps to go, and there's no penalty. It's like the worst face mask penalty you could get. And there's no penalty.
I'm not a Stewart fan. I'm not a Gordon fan. They can tear each other up all day long.
So it is.
It depends.
It's a fantasy.
Now, sometimes there's usually hardly ever a penalty on the track. But I have seen where Dale Earnhardt was black flagged and sent off the track for rough driving. Usually the penalties happen after the races when it's points or some crap like that. But
politics.
It's politics. It's the three-ring circus.
Well, I think somebody here a few weeks back said it was a soap opera. It is almost like WWE is, like the wrestling thing.
Well,
it has been choreographed. I really believe that that's what it has come to, and it's sad.
All right, speaking of politics, why don't you introduce our guest here, Winter?
Well,
we're going to talk about
Modified now, right? You're on.
Yeah.
Joe Cool, introduce yourself, Joe.
My name's Joe, owner of Gulfside Services.
And give us a little background on yourself going back.
I started racing at Sunshine Speedway. I've been going to that racetrack since the day I was born. My grandfather raced there, my dad raced there, and that's where I started out at and started there in street stocks and moved up to the Outlaw Late Models when it was there. And then after it closed, I quit racing for a while and moved south to Fort Myers, started a business. Took my time with that and got everything going there. And then opportunity came along. I got back into racing again after 5 years taking it off. I actually bought a fast car pro truck and did five races and wasn't fast enough. And my fiance said, it looks so slow on the racetrack. It's time to move up. So I had an opportunity by Brad Bischoff's open wheel last year, the last race that he ran. I bought it. So that's how I got ended up in the Modified series. I wanted to do the Gulf Coast series, but that doesn't look like it's happening. So,
well, now getting back to that Modified, you've got Robbie McAuliffe driving that car, right?
Yep.
Okay, now that was Robbie's ride prior to Brad Bischoff driving it, right?
Yep. Brad and his dad Brian and his parents, they bought that car for him, and they drove it. He drove it, and then I went out there, and the opportunity came up to get that car. I've worked on that car since John Bonin had it, the owner of Hosen Hydraulics, and I know that car inside out like the back of my hand.
That car's been around.
Well, it's a good car.
Yeah.
It gets around, it's fast, and the last three times we've had it out, it's been up front. So we just.
I remember the first win that Robbie had in that at DeSoto was he borrowed a carburetor from Jefferson.
That's right.
And
that thing is a rocket. Yeah. It's fast.
All right, so that's all the nice stuff now.
That's
now,
the nicest.
What?
Okay, Jack, you take over.
Yeah,
now.
So now it's like here's times you can't use where's the. We can't say that.
Right.
You can't do that. I was thinking. We can't do that.
No.
There's some things we can't talk about.
Right.
So what is the solution? What is the problem with
Modifieds? First off,
yeah.
Gulf Coast Modifieds, to me, last year, was absolutely the best touring series out of all of them,
yes,
including TBRA to me.
I agree.
Because they would pull 30 cars, 25 cars, whatever, regardless of how many
cars. Open-wheel Modifieds.
Open-wheel Modifieds, which when the whole concept of open-wheel Modifieds is, affordable racing at a higher level.
Yeah.
And at the time, in every one of those Gulf Coast Modified races, there was 10 to 12 drivers that could win that race at any time.
That's exactly the what I like about that series. You can't go out there with that street stock mentality. You got an open wheel hanging out there off the right front. You don't drive off in a corner and bump somebody. You got to wheel the car. You got to drive it. You don't go out there, crash them up, and beat your way to the front because you ain't going to make it.
Right, and the quality of drivers you got Robbie, you got the Partolos, you've got Jefferson, you've got Dempsey.
And Billy Mowry was driving.
Billy Mowry, I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the quality of drivers. Probably the highest quality of drivers in any series at all.
I agree. And you watch Jefferson, the show that he put on at the Icebreaker.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
Yes.
Dead last.
Started last for no reason. I went into the winner's
circle.
Couldn't qualify.
The car wouldn't start and qualify.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
I said, did you start last for any reason? He said, no, just for the hell of it.
No, he couldn't.
Is that what it was?
The car wouldn't start and qualify.
Well, he came from last to first in like 25 laps or something.
No.
23rd lap he was leading.
Yeah. The one thing, though, that last year when we had the Icebreaker, we had 32 cars, I think. This year we had 18.
One word. Fast car. Bottom line, fast car.
Okay.
They posted that they bought the series, which I thought was a good thing. Meant we were going to go to Lakeland, New Smyrna, Orlando, Columbia, places we haven't been before.
Right.
And then posted the rules. Little motors only on half mile or bigger. Perfect. Okay. Everybody was going to be equal.
Right.
Now it's the guy that can wheel the car is going to be the guy that wins. Not the guy with the big motor at Lakeland is just going to drive off and, you know, into the sunset, and that's who you're going to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, watch Simons do that how many times at Lakeland.
Exactly,
that's the most boring show to watch.
Right.
But then every time you turn around, you know, you look on there for the rules. One week, the first thing that I saw change was the clutch. They posted it with a 7 1/4 inch clutch. Last year it was a 5.5, you know. And then the next thing you know, they started bickering about the weight. And the big motors, you know, on and on and on. Every week you had to look on there to see what the new rules were going to be. I think that's why a lot of guys didn't come to Soto, just because of all the changes and the unknowns and what was Fast Car going to do. They proved what they did at the end of the race.
But why do you think, in your opinion, why do you think they changed those rules?
To appease the guys that race in Fast Car.
They're big motors, though, right?
Yep. Every track that they changed, that they're going to be running there, super modified, they call it, is at a fast car track. It's not the small ones where we race already. The guys that are racing at Citrus, Ocala, DeSoto, you know, the few that go down to Bobby's track, those are the guys that have been supporting Gulf Coast since it started.
Exactly, yeah.
The guys that run, you go and look on the New Smyrna site, the Orlando site, and you look at the results. And then you go look at their results, and then you go back and look at the Gulf Coast results for the last 2 years. There ain't too many of them guys in those results. They are not coming to these races.
No, prior to this year, the big motors couldn't run in Gulf Coast, right? There was no weight.
They could with the weight, as long as they ran the weight.
In front of the flywheel?
Whatever the weight penalty happened to be. I mean, a lot of guys showed up with big motors at tracks, but it didn't matter at Citrus, Ocala, DeSoto, you know, that you a small motor get around.
Now, see, they've been battling this big motor thing for
8, 9, 10 years.
Oh, it went from transmissions to tires to gears to rear ends to, I mean, everything, and nothing has worked on it.
They race modifieds aplenty in the Midwest, right? And the IMCA modified rules.
UMPs, too?
Yeah, UMPs. They race them with all over the Northeast. Now the Whelen modified tour has started coming south with great success.
Yeah.
What's the problem here?
There's one thing in common with all the modifieds in Florida. They all run an 8-inch tire. If you can't put it through the 8-inch tire, you're wasting your time. It's good to have 700 horsepower, but it's only good at Lakeland. It's only good at New Smyrna. And it's only good at Columbia.
Right.
Where you can let that motor breathe. If you can let it get up the RPM to where it needs to be in a big motor, it's going to be fast. But these short tracks, you can't do it. There ain't enough straightaway to get them where into the RPM range where they need to run.
Jefferson,
so they get killed.
Collins told him to prove that fact, yeah.
Yep.
So what's the crux? What's the real problem here?
They can't leave one thing alone long enough to see what it's going to do.
Now, I haven't paid a whole lot of attention, but didn't they basically split the series?
Yep.
Is that what they've done?
They took all the fast car tracks away from the Gulf Coast guys and gave it back to the fast car guys and told them put wings on their cars and give it a try.
How many tracks are you guys running?
Three now.
It was supposed
to be seven.
Which three?
Ocala, Citrus, and Bradenton.
So are you saying that the guys that have been running in the Gulf Coast primarily for the last several years, these guys are not going to go race at the Lakeland and so forth?
They may go to Orlando. They're competitive Orlando. I've seen Robbie Cooper go over and just mop them up over there the last three big races they've had over there with a little motor. You see Robbie Cooper in that red car, it's a Gulf Coast motor. When he's got his black car, he's got a big motor. Mm-hmm. He goes out there with that red car, wears them out. Drove away from them.
If you got any comments or anything, questions, give us a call at 941-748-3490.
Yes, and we don't have our email capability is not happening here tonight because of some, we're short one computer.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, well, we're just short a computer tonight. But
missing people.
So you have different, see, from the promoter's standpoint, well, actually, I don't know whose standpoint is from. The fans want one thing. The promoters want another thing, and they don't necessarily match up. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. And then the drivers, there's different drivers want different things. Some drivers just want to go fast, right? I mean, am I right here? They just want to go fast.
That's why I bought a modified. I wanted to go race at Lakeland. I want to see what it feels like to go 130 miles off.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you really just want to go fast, and I'm not saying this to be facetious here, why not just go to Ocala Drag Strip or Gainesville Drag Strip or DeSoto Drag Strip or Jacksonville Drag Strip and go fast?
Because I want to go fast and hit somebody in the door. I can't do that there.
Oh!
Swapping paint.
Yeah.
We could get rid of that yellow line in the middle of the drag strip.
Drag racing's all good, but if I ever went drag racing and I'm got about a half car length back, I'm hooking him. I'm winning.
You know what? Maybe there's a whole market here for demolition drag racing. You know? Who knows?
I'd pay to see that.
So
get about eight of them out there. Funny cars.
Yeah. I'll tell you, from most fans,
four of them from a standstill.
Right. I mean, of course, fans. You know, if I'm a big fan of yours, you know, and I come like because a lot of fans come to see certain drivers.
Yeah.
At the short tracks on Saturday night, all over this country. Probably half the fans in the stands got some kind of emotional connection with somebody out there on that track.
Yep.
And so, okay, they're just watching you. That's cool. But the other half that are just watching the racing, they want to see, like, competitive, you know, like you were talking about, where you have, like, the other night, you had two cars racing side by side for five laps trying to get the advantage of 10 laps or 15 laps. And it just, the longer you can keep that energy there where them two cars are battling from you're sitting up in the grandstands, the longer you can keep that energy there, the more exciting it is, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
this was
what happens a lot in these races is you start off with 20 cars, okay? And you have three wrecks that sort out the field. Racing doesn't sort out the field. The wrecks sort out the field.
Fine.
And then it follow the leader, and it's boring.
Yep. Some of the best racing that you'll ever see is at a track where there's two grooves, where the guys can run side by side. Bradenton is one.
Right.
Citrus, you can do it. Ocala, you can do it a little bit. You got to watch how you do it, you know.
Oh, all over the country, there are tracks.
There are some tracks. Yes. And there's the other ones you ain't doing it.
Sure.
Orlando is fun to do it at. You know, those tracks you can do it at. But, you know, New Smyrna, I don't know what it's like with the new asphalt on there. I'm sure it's good. But
it'll come around. Yeah. It's a little.
You can't do it at Charlotte?
You can do it, but it's
in the big cars,
you got to kind of close one eye and look a little to the left and hope it sticks.
You're hanging it out there when you do it.
And you got to have a little bit of different mentality too. You got to gear the car a little different to be on the outside because that way you can get the RPMs up off the corner to be able to pull off the corner. So there's a little bit of different. If you're going to run the outside, you got to set your car up a little bit different at Charlotte to do that.
Yeah. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know what? What don't you know?
I don't know what the answer is. I think the next one
we got to have in here is Nerone and ask him why he's doing what he's doing.
Well, he's the general manager of Fast Car. As a matter of fact, we just didn't have time tonight to go that deep into the deal, but we wanted to talk about it a bit because, I mean, it's an issue that just – this issue was sitting around when Rick Day was still in Florida.
Yep. It sure was, yep.
You know? The claimer rule. I remember when Gary English, I believe it was, claimed some 14-year-old kid's motor. I can't remember who it was. Claimed some 14-year-old kid's motor over at New Smyrna. They were ready to string him up. Judge Roy Bean, like, hang him, you know?
I remember Teddy Nelson punching Steve, not Steve, Steve Hauser right in the face in Tech at DeSoto. He walked up to him with $500 for the motor and Teddy's. No.
Yeah, it's politically incorrect in Florida for claimer.
I thought the claimer rule was
I like the claimer rule.
I did too.
That was the best thing about watching a race at Sunshine, to see who was going to claim at the end of the race. The race was good, but then you wanted to see who was going to come up there and stir the pot, you know?
Who's got the money?
Yep. Somebody's slowing down. They're slowing down. Oh, they kept going.
I tell you, out of all the racetracks I ever went to, Sunshine was a true live message board.
So what was the parameters of the claimer rule? Was it just you brought the $500, you put it up, you got the motor, or you brought the $500 and you take his motor and they get your motor, or what was that?
The way that started out was it was pretty much, you know, build what you want as far as the motor goes. No compression rules, nothing like that. All you had to do was have a carburetor pass the gauges that Tech guy had. Your left side weight had to be one thing, and the overall weight had to be. That was it.
So you walk in, $500 claimer rule, you buy their motor, that's it.
Yep. It was usually a choice either between buying or swapping. If you wanted to buy it outright, it depended on what track it was. It $1,000 to buy it outright, say $750 if you just wanted to trade. Right. But it was the guy that was selling the motor. It was his choice whether he traded or if he just sold it outright.
How'd that work? Was it anybody throughout the field that could claim the motor?
At Sunshine, it was the top three stopped on the front straightaway. Mm-hmm. Anybody in the top 10 on the lead lap could claim.
Right. Yeah.
And well, that's a good deal. I like that.
Yeah. You had to have the cash.
Yeah. You had to have the cash on that front straightaway. You had to give it to the flag man, and then he would call over to Tech. You'd have to shut the car off right there, and they'd have to push your cars off from the front straightaway to Tech.
Yeah. What? So, he's just going to take
care. Oh, okay.
So, where do we go from here? I mean, what do you think is going to happen? How's this going to play out?
I don't know. I don't think Gulf Coast Series is going to work too much this year. It's already divided.
Either one of these numbers?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I don't know. I'm not going to any of the races. I emailed them 3 times, and the responses I got was, I posted one of the last response that I got from them, why did they do what they did, and they gave me a breakdown of what cars showed up to the icebreaker. They had 13 Gulf Coast motors show up there. Mm-hmm. They had 3 guys that had both. They asked them if they had a big and a little, and they said they had both, and then they had 3 that just had big motors. So if you have 13 there that have the small motors, and then the end result is, well, we're going to go ahead and change the series and let the big motors run. So they let the 3 guys with the big motors dictate what was going on instead of the 13 that showed up to support the series as it was intended to be. That's my whole complaint with it. They started out with one thing, and then when I bought my car, that's what I bought it for. It was built to be for that series the way it was set up, not the way it is now.
So is there a youth feel that there's a lot of people in the Gulf Coast Series that feel the same way you do?
Well, we went and ran the blue-gray race up in Ocala. 38 cars showed up, took time on Saturday night. There was only 19 showed up to Bradenton. Don Nerone's asking me, why is that?
Well, I can remember before I went to the Marine Corps in 91, I grew up at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, Charlotte County Speedway then. And on any given weekend, if they were running the open-wheel modifieds, it was – and they had the claimer rule back then. You had Turner running. I think Richie was running then too. I can't quite remember. But you'd have anywhere from 18 to 23 of those open-wheel modifieds show up, and they were on the claimer rule. And the racing was tight. You didn't – maybe once in a while you get 1 or 2 people who would come down there and maybe run away from it once in a while. But I think – the claim rule is a great thing. A lot of people, I've been in here before and talked about it, and people are like, no, we can't do that, blah, and they just get, Well, what it is, it's the guys with the big money that can build the big motors, and build them all day long. I don't care if I go out and hand grenade it this weekend or in practice on Friday night, I'll go back to my shop and get another one. There's a lot of guys out there with open wheel modifies. I saw one for sale in Lehigh Acres last week until, the county came out and put a sticker on it, that you got to get it out of here. You got a lot of open-wheel modifieds out there that are just sitting because of the bigger motors.
Yep.
I really strongly believe that, so I agree with you on that one.
Thank you.
But these guys really need to go back to the claim rule. And if the drivers don't like it, so what? Those are the rules. If you want to race, come race. If not, sell your car.
I think that's the biggest problem with some of these series. They're out trying to make too many friends. You know, they're not doing what's best for the series. They're trying to please people. You can't please everybody. You ain't going to please me. I don't want you to please me. Just build a series that's fun and competitive and that I know what's going to happen every time I go to the racetrack. The way it is now, you don't know what's going on. You know, unfortunately, you know, Charlotte did their little thing last week, the way they set that up, and I didn't agree with it. And, you know, I questioned it and asked a bunch of questions about it and didn't really get any straight answers about it, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm very biased when it comes to the rules and the drivers and owners and stuff like that. I'm really good at separating myself that way. And I don't know who's in charge of those two series, but what's the harm in going back to a claim rule? If they're listening, what's the harm in it?
There isn't one.
The only thing it's going to do is going to make your racing better. A lot more people come back and race, and it's going to make it affordable for them, and you're going to put on a good show. Either way, you're going to end up making money. Either way, they're going to end up making money. They'll figure out how to do it in the long run.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that just will refuse to play that game.
Yeah.
If they refuse to play it, then they can go race somewhere else, or they can sell their car to somebody who wants to race.
Yeah, I've seen them guys that they will die by that big motor.
Yep.
You know, in places like Punta Gorda, it don't work there. You know, the little motors that go out there, and you can flat-foot it off the corner and drive past them every time.
Okay, Joe, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to hold this right here on the modifieds. Get yourself a cold drink. Relax a little bit now. And we're going to come back to this in a few minutes, okay? Right now, I think we have
Mr. Ron Barney from the ASA on with us tonight. How you doing, Ron?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Big race down there in Texas this past week.
Yeah, it was a pretty good show. Good turnout, good racing, good weather.
So, Ron, this is Jack Smith here. This weekend coming up, you're going to open up the Southern Division of the ASA Late Model Racing Series at Bronson Motor Speedway. What can race fans and people that come to that, what can they expect this weekend? What kind of show are they going to expect?
Well, I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised. We've got about 40 cars pre-entered already. A lot of Florida drivers entered, and you know, they'll come and get an autograph session on track and meet the drivers, and they'll get a GM Performance Parts shootout for the guys that didn't make the show, and then a 100-lap ASA late model event, and it'll be some of the best racing they've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I don't have the entry list in front of me, but I was looking at it last night. There was for an article we were doing, and man, there's a lot of young talent in that list.
Absolutely, you know, it just seems that we've turned the corner with the ASA Late Model Southern Division, and you know, a lot of good young talented guys are showing up. Just off the top of my head, I know Jeff Chiquette's coming, Dalton Deere, Chris Fontaine. You know. It's just Travis Wilson. I mean, there's just a ton of talented drivers that are going to be there this weekend.
Yeah, Ron, you know, the ASA has really made a resurgence, especially down here in the South. What can you attribute that to?
Well, I just think that a lot of it's got to do with just the affordability of the racing. Now, with the crate motor package and some of the cost limitations on the shocks and brake systems that we're allowing in these cars, and obviously, recognition of a place of still graduating drivers up into the NASCAR ranks with our past two champions, Stephen Light and Kelly Byers, and obviously Landon Castle moving up and signing a deal with Hendrick as well.
When did the ASA really change to this crate late model deal?
Basically, it started with the National Tour when they went to their LS1 fuel-injected package, and that was back in around 2000. And then with this current configuration, it started back in 2003.
Ron, this is Jason from Charlotte County Motorsports Park. How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. When it comes to your guys' motors right now, who is the main people that's helping you out with this?
With as far as is building them or rebuilding them? Or
yeah, yeah. Who's building them for you? Who's your big ones out there right now?
Well, right now, I mean, we don't have engine builders per se. We have they basically come from the factory stock, but some of the people that are doing work on them are McGonagall Engines out of Indiana. They're doing a lot of the Ford stuff. And you got Gary Stanton doing the Dodge stuff out of Kentucky, and the GM motors really you can get from any GM dealership in the country.
So have you gotten any support from Toyota yet, seeing as now that they've come into the NASCAR ranks? Have any of them approached you wanting to get into the ASA series?
Well, I think that yes, you're going to see Toyota in the future without giving too much away. We've been in talks with them, and I firmly believe that come 2008 you'll probably see Toyota in short tracks.
That's cool. Now, if you're getting a lot of drivers from the South right now, and any other areas that are real hot spots right now, you're getting drivers out of?
Wisconsin seems to be another one of our strongholds here in the North and Midwest part of the country. We see a vast majority of drivers come out of Wisconsin. And obviously evidenced by some of the drivers that have been coming out of there lately, Matt Kenseth and such. You know, it's for whatever reason, it seems like, Wisconsin's just producing just a lot of great race car drivers over the past probably 10 years or more.
Now, you go to the ASA website, and it shows a lot of different type of racing, you know, sprint cars and all different kinds of stuff. What is that all about?
Well, We've got three separate divisions, our North, our South, and our Challenge division. And really, the Challenge division is our premier division, although the rules are very similar. The only difference would be they're longer races, and they're on a radial tire as opposed to the bi-ply that the North and South runs on.
Oh, that's all the late model stuff. Is the ASA involved in, like, sprint car racing and so forth, other kinds of racing?
No, not at this time. You may be thinking of the ASA member track program, and they'll sanction just about anything that's got wheels on it. We're not affiliated with that. But
I gotcha.
That's two separate organizations then?
All right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so back to this weekend at Bronson. What's the teams will roll in there on Friday night or Friday afternoon? How's that going to work?
Yeah, they'll roll in there Friday afternoon for an open practice day, and then obviously we will qualify and race on Saturday. So it should be a full day of ASA late model cars on the racetrack down at Bronson.
Yeah, we're going to be talking in a little bit here with Dalton Zier, and we're also going to touch base with Travis Wilson tonight. I was talking to Travis earlier this afternoon, and man, it's just amazing. You got Colt James coming in there and Dalton Zier and Travis Wilson, and I mean David Wilson. You just got a ton of talent. It should be a great, great show.
Absolutely.
All right,
Ron. Well, thanks for touching base with us. We'll see you up at Bronson this weekend.
We will see you there for sure.
All right, we'll see you there.
All right, Mr. Ron Varney of the ASA. You want to take a quick break?
Yes, we need to take a quick break. We'll come back with Doug Rose, the Green Mamba.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feeding frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All You Can Eat Buffet.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
We are also brought to you by Evergreen Construction, Mr. C.J. Murray and Associates, for all your land clearing and construction needs. Right now, we're coming back with Mr. Green Mamba himself, Doug Rose. Doug, how you doing tonight?
We're doing fine. We're as far along as we just have to finish it up to paint. Taking the chassis to a sandblaster, and then we're going to paint it with basics because the painter that I need to do the complete job on it, because it takes about a week to 2 weeks to do it. He won't be able to do it for quite a while, but I got the engine back in shape. We got a bigger fuel tank in it. We're getting new tires for it next week. The tires that were in the trailer that went missing when the trailer went, missing. We haven't found that yet, but we'll be ready to go here by the 23rd, 24th. We have a show down in Ponte Gorda.
Yay.
Yeah, so that was the plan, right, was to be ready in April for Ponte Gorda. Is it going to be at the air show, or is it going
to? I think we're going to be there for a day. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I have to confirm that yet. But as far as I know, we're supposed to be. Well, we'll be at the track. We're putting on a full show at the track. And then after that, we've got a couple more dates down here in Florida.
Cool. Well, when Rick asked you how you were doing, you said fine. Maybe that'll make you like feel great.
We're gonna go out and buy some more parts. With that.
saved.
So tell everybody what you just did.
Yeah, savedamama.org is a website that we threw together when Teddy Kempkins contacted me after the deal was happened up there with the theft and all that. And people from all over the country have responded, and they've responded like some pretty cool ways. And there was an article that came out in just the other day. Again, it was Monday, yesterday, mm-hmm. In the St. Petersburg Times, which is in the Tampa Bay market, very large market. And
that's northern Tampa Bay,
huh?
Northern Tampa.
Yeah.
Bay.
I mean, we got emails come in from college students.
Not to be confused with South Tampa Bay.
This kid is a college student.
Yeah.
Taking engineering or something. He says, "I don't have any money, but if there's any way I can come over and help you, I mean, people send him money.
We've had
a lot of money come in to help him put the pieces together.
We have people
that
volunteer their time. There's guys who donated. They said if we need it, they got 200 hours of whatever we need to do. They'll give it to us. There's a couple of graphics companies that want to look at the coloring the car, and there's we had a guy come over today. He's a jet enthusiast. He has little turbines. He's going to build a tractor, but he came over today and he talked to me. He said, "Anything I can do?" He says, "When you're ready to go to get the car back, to get it ready to go in the trailer," he says, "let me come over and I'll help you put things together. I'll polish, I'll make parts, I'll unscrew screws, whatever, anything they can do." And they're just, if all of the guys that volunteered would show up at one time, I'd have to get out of the garage because we'd be full of people.
One of the emails was from a guy named George Smith in Spring Hill, and Spring Hill's up in Central Florida. And he said, "I've raced with you in the late 70s when I was driving BBFC. What's BBFC? You know?
I don't know.
Okay, well, he said he raced with you. Maybe that was something else, but that's what he said. He said he was living in Spring Hill now. Said, I don't have money because I'm unemployed, but I got hands. Yep. Any help you need, I'll be there. Just let me know. And, I mean, that's very cool.
There's a guy used to know my painter out in California. He's living in St. Pete. He offered to come over and do what he could. I had a friend of mine from Wisconsin that came down, and Bob, and he came over yesterday, and he gave us a check. So I can't believe the outgoing of help and appreciation and phone calls we've gotten from everywhere. And I guess if I had a computer, I'd be able to read all the emails and things, but it's just unreal that there's that much interest in this old car. But we're trying to keep it as much original as possible by the time we get it back together.
Have you found any more parts or anything?
No, they're still missing. The guy that cut the car up, we know now that he knows the people who drove off with the car because he helped them move 2 days later.
Oh, okay.
So we know that he knows them, but for some reason they've been hiding enough stuff so they can't really pin anything on him. But he won't point his finger at him either.
Hmm.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think it's family.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story.
And basically the whole reason for them stealing it was basically they just saw the trailer there at first, right?
Yeah.
And
we know that somebody small got in the small front door of the trailer on the left side, pushed the generator out of the way. Normally it's bolted down there, but they pushed it out of the way, got in, opened the side doors, and they took the toolboxes out first, and the one big heavy one they dropped on the nose of the car. And that's where the big scratches and the dent come in the front. But then they took it over to Pedro's shop. But I know. We're sure that he knows who they are because the police went and talked to him because one of our witnesses said that they thought one of the residents came down and talked to the guy who was driving the truck. Well, they went and talked to him, and 2 days later they moved out. So you think maybe they think they're hot?
Yeah, just as well.
So you're doing this up in Tampa, right? Now, where do you test it? I mean, you just can't go out in the garage and fire up a jet engine, right?
Well, we can. usually on the weekend when nobody's there, I'll test fire it. I'll idle it just to make
sure.
Are
you kidding?
Just to make sure there's no leaks or anything. It's not a big engine, you know. It's just a little guy. And
it's a jet.
It's an airplane, dog. It's what a jet are you talking engine. About?
I've seen that thing melt cars. Come on.
Well, that's only when we wind it up.
Still.
You have to get the spring real tight for
it. We're just idling it. Well, officer, we were just idling.
It doesn't. The way it's set up, it doesn't make a lot of thrust at idle.
Okay.
Because the temperature's way down, and it doesn't blow a lot of stuff around. And the engine's only running about 35-40% at that time. But if we have to go to power and we have to check it like that, we'll take it out to one of the racetracks we have friends at, and they'll let me crank it if I have to.
Yeah.
The engine wasn't damaged. They, for some reason, started taking the stainless steel lines off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got it all back together. We got all the lines on. We don't see any damage. There was a couple cracked fittings on the bottom, which we replaced.
Didn't they literally take that engine and just throw it in a scrap heap?
Yeah, what he did is, we found out, is he called this guy up and told him to come and get it. So he came and got it because he couldn't get it over there the first day because the guy was closed or nobody was there. So we think that's where they started taking it apart. But he came over and got it, and they dropped it on a pallet over there, and we're not sure who was the one who started taking the lines off, but we think it was them. But it was like 3-4 blocks away. It was a father and son type of little scrapyard over there in Drew Park.
Wow.
And instead of calling the police, he just started scratching his head and thinking, what am I going to do with this thing?
Yeah.
So that was a pretty black cloud that came over Tampa when this happened. Now, what's been the silver lining for you?
We got it back. And that it's going together. We had a lot of help, a lot of volunteers, wonderful karma, you know. People that I haven't talked to for years have been calling me up, you know, say, hey, we thought you were dead. I said, not likely. And I've got numbers of old friends that I had the guys are as old as I am.
And you had one guy get in touch with you who wasn't necessarily an old friend, right? Wasn't there a thing where there was one of the competitors or something that you didn't necessarily get along with so good?
Well, there are several competitors have called me and wished me the best of luck. and actually have helped by sending some money and offering help, and if they had them, the parts. But, of course, there's only two of us running these types of engines.
Right.
And the other guy, Freddie, up north, he doesn't have anything really that he can spare without stripping an engine that he's running.
Right.
So asking him for something is kind of tough. If I absolutely had to have it 100% and I was broke down somewhere, he'd probably send it. And that's the way we are. And he's helped me out a lot of times before. We've traded parts over the years. He and I used to drive for Walt Arfons in the old days. I drove the Monster, and he drove the Avenger, and another car that Walter had. But he also builds race cars, tractors, and you can't believe his yard. My shop would fit in his closet. He had a couple planes laying in his backyard.
Yeah.
But he Sibley builds a lot of stuff. Fred Sibley Senior. You know.
The last time we talked, you had said that you were thinking that because of the condition of the engine, you were going to have to go out to California to some of the
desert.
Old jet scrap yards out there. Did you have to do that?
Well, we've made enough phone calls to find out there aren't any out there anymore. I thought I knew where there was a couple, but they weren't. There was some J-46s here in Florida, but the people I talked to had told it to me a few years ago said that they're not there anymore. There was a guy who was going to buy them here in Orlando, and he said he thought I was buying them, so he didn't bid on them or go and get them, but that was a few years ago. And so now he doesn't know where they are. So.
They're in Area 51, Doug.
Secret project.
They're not at Pedro's.
Land speed car.
That's right.
All right. That's a good thing. So what's the...
Quick, if you need something in general, I'll get with you before we go, but I think I might have a contact that would be able to get you parts for that motor.
Actually, so. the three things that I need, because they were my only spares that I have, are the igniter plugs are the most important. I can make wires that go from the box, and then the igniter boxes, you know. But the boxes were used on particular ones on J-34s and J-46s. Westinghouse engines, and they might have been used on a JY-40, but the igniter plugs, each jet engine has their own peculiar use of igniter plugs. They're not like you go out and buy a set of Champions that'll fit 95 different styles of cars, you know.
Yeah.
They fit a particular style of engine.
Right.
And the Navy was the only one that used this engine for a while, because I was in a squadron of them.
So let me ask you, this is a stupid question, but you know, in the future here down the road, they're going to retire the space shuttle, okay? They're going to retire this thing. Are we expecting to see
look at his eyebrows raised.
Is this like Jack's new boat?
Jack's new boat.
Like out in the desert, maybe we could do something here?
I think the engine just a touch too big.
You think?
And considering that thing makes, I don't know how many million pounds of thrust.
Yeah, buddy.
Just one of their little turbines that drives fuel in that thing is you know, many, many horsepowers.
What is the land speed record now? Do you have any idea?
It's just over the speed of sound. It's, I think, 720-something. The British have it. I've got an idea for a land speed car to go out there, but I was talking to a guy about it the other day, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But it...
Is it a sled on tracks? Or is
no,
that...
actually... They're running on the wheels that they're running on because you can't get tires that anybody wants to make for that speed. Matter of fact, Goodyear was the last one making land speed tires for anything. And as far as I know, they're not making them anymore. I was talking to a guy yesterday who was trying to trade some from somebody else that I know.
Right.
He made it making a trade deal because he just can't get them. But they're using aluminum billet discs with grooves cut in them. So they're running on metal. The land speed cars that they are running now, Relove's car and the one that the British have the record with, were running on aluminum discs, and they were on the dry lake out there.
And we're 700 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, you got to quit driving these slow modifieds, man.
Yeah.
Really. Come on.
Put a jet in the back of that thing.
So what's the date? Do we know what the dates are for the Charlotte County, they got the air show down at the
That's going to be the weekend of the 24th. Florida. Yeah, that's the 23rd, 24th, and 25th is the weekend of the air show.
So by people paying attention to SaveTheMamba.org and CharlotteCountyRacing.com and Karnak.com, Short Track America, all that stuff. We can find out when it's going to be.
Yeah, I didn't come prepared.
So
I'm sorry.
So
you're
going to melt a Lincoln?
I could. I've done a Rolls, and I've done two Mercedes. I've done a couple of...
What's the newest thing you've ever melted?
Was there a really nice Cadillac sedan, wasn't it?
You know, there's a doctor down in Punta Gorda. If I can get a hold of his BMW.
Huh? We did one of those.
A Beamer,
yeah, we did a Beamer.
So at the air show, what do you plan to do? I mean, what kind of... you have any idea?
I can't go fast there because of the tires, the limitation.
Right.
I don't know that they'd even want. I don't even know if I'm allowed to run there, but and I'm gonna have a display there, I think. And the oval track, though, we're gonna run around the track making fire and smoke, and then we're gonna blast a car apart with the afterburner.
So, have you ever seen that?
I don't think so. I saw this thing up in the school bus. Matter of fact, Bill Hunt. Remember that school bus they used to run around in, and it had a jet engine in the back of it, and there was a glass.
Vaguely.
That was Freddy's, wasn't it?
It would. You couldn't get close to it. It was so hot. He
has a little engine in
there. I think it was a Lincoln you did at DeSoto the last time.
No, I've never seen your deal. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I was facing towards the pits.
Yeah.
The last grandstands before the pit entrance there. And he starts it, you know, and everybody's standing there. It's all cool. And then when he kicked it in and that thing started coming apart, chunks of flame and steel are flying, and these big, bad, redneck race car drivers are running and screaming.
You know, I was looking I was doing some research the other day, and on Karnak.com there was an article about you were up at Columbia Motorsports Park in Lake City. Is that where I read that? Like in the last...
I've done Lake City, yeah.
A few years, few years. Yeah. Yeah.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, there's an article in there I was reading about.
Yeah, Don put on that show up there. We did a big car up there. It's you got to imagine a really giant cutting torch like the Jolly Green Giant we have.
Yeah.
You know, and the heat. Remember these pictures you see of the jet planes taking off in combat, that blue flame coming
out
the back of them?
Sure.
Okay, that's the afterburner.
Afterburner, yeah.
But that's like a cutting torch. There's over 3,000 degrees in that heat.
Yeah,
and he direct that toward a car, and I'm like four steps away from the car. We're chained to it, so I can't blow it away. So the fire cuts right through it like a torch.
I want you to know, I'm an accomplished F-18 fighter pilot. I have the latest edition of Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Can you get me one of their engines?
It's awesome, man.
I want one of them F-18 engines.
Jack plays it on his boat every night.
It's actually smaller than my 46, but it makes a whole lot more power.
Yeah, buddy.
At 404?
This will be cool, man.
What makes you want to go fast in front of a jet? What started you out? I've asked you this before, but I mean.
The fastest thing I had was when I got out of the Navy. I had a 51 Ford Victoria with a 53 Merc engine in it, and which was all souped up inside. And I changed the rear end on it, and I got a nice clutch for it. And Escuderian cam and all that good stuff. And I was running 135, 40 miles an hour on the highway with it. And then drag racing it. And then I met Walt Arfons. He came to Union Grove Speedway, or drag strip, with his jet car that he just built. And I'd worked on the engine in the Navy because I was in a squadron of Cutlasses. And so I figured, wow, you know, this is really cool, you know. And I was a track photographer at that point. So then after that, I kept in touch with him, and I kept followed around, took pictures, gave him some ideas, told him, you know, about a few things. And eventually we talked enough, and he hired me. And I went and drove the original.
You were a track photographer?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was also a truck driver and jet mechanic.
Jack of all trades.
But he gave me a job, learning how to drive his car. And he... hired me, and I drove the original Green Monster jet for 5 years, which has a 46 in it, and we could go out to California and buy 46s. They were lined up. They took them out of the cans and stacked them up in rows in a surplus house, and you could go out and buy them by the pound.
Oh, man.
And they were cheap as beans, I'll tell you. And we got an engine that shook and vibrated. They took it back and gave us another one. And we found out the ones to use were the ones that were overhauled by the manufacturer. And we never had any problem with them. I swear those things could swallow rocks. But they've been living. Like, I go through an engine probably in about three seasons. But then I have to replace or repaint the inside of the combustion chamber, or not the combustion chamber, but the compressor chamber, or else replace the last four rows of blades, because they wear down from all the crap that goes through the engine, even with screens. What I found for drag racing is a nice car. It runs about 300 and a quarter, and it was always dependable. It always lit off. You know, it always did everything you wanted it to do, even though we trick it into thinking it's getting something it's not.
Yeah. That's amazing.
What was that first run like? I mean, what did you feel that first run?
My first passenger jet was 130 miles an hour at a track in Illinois for Walt. And then my first 200-mile-an-hour run was down here in Florida at the Golden Triangle when Garlitz owned it. We came down there with the car, and Walter, and he had a deal going. And so I made my first 200-mile-an-hour run there.
So, now, the Arfon family's from, like, Sarasota, aren't they? Down south here?
They retired there.
Uh-huh.
You know, Craig had a shop down there when his dad moved down here. Walter retired in Sarasota, I believe. Yeah. But they were all from Akron, Ohio. They were on Pickle Road. And then you take a few steps down, and Art's shop was right down. It used to be the old feed mill in Akron, Ohio on uh-huh. Pickle Road. And eventually they ended up just doing jets and Allison's Rangers. They used to have an airplane that they flew out of off the field down and off of Pickle Road. There's a big school there later on, so, you know, the plane had to go.
But, Doug, bottom line, man, what's in store for the Green Mamba now that it's back?
We going on tour?
As soon as we get it all finished the way we want it, I'm back on the road with
Need
it.
Need a manager?
Probably nice. I can't manage anything.
Oh. You're in trouble.
Watch out.
You're in trouble now.
I'm in trouble. All right, Doug.
Okay. Doug.
Go ahead.
Real quick before you go, just because I'm the young guy here. I mean, years ago, when I'm probably going to make you feel old, when I was like 11, 12 years old, I can remember seeing the Mamba. And I just got to let you know that age group, being a child and seeing that, just in awe. I mean, the kids love it. The kids absolutely love it. I love it.
He brought tears to his eyes.
Well, I can't wait to see it again, because it is something that is just absolutely amazing, because it is really a craft that is, you know, I'd hate to say it, but it's dying. And there's a few of them out there, but you don't see them like you used to anymore.
Well, it's because the fact that they're so expensive now. A lot of the jet car guys have businesses and stuff. They have to spend a lot of money for the new types of engines they've got. They're lighter and faster. There's speed limits on them, which takes a lot of the wind out of you. So you have to really enjoy what you're doing to even follow the rules that they've set forth to run these things. And like you say, being young and seeing it when you were a kid, I used to sell posters for this thing, and I've had three generations. Guys keep passing these posters on in their family. And I've signed some posters like three times at three different dates for three different owners. He gives it to his kid, and then his kid gives it to his kid.
That's awesome.
You know, and I really feel good about that. The car has a tremendous fan base, and it's been around for almost 40 years. Even the old Green Monster, if they were to restore that car, if they could, I don't even know if all the parts are still available, that thing would even draw, because it had a tremendous fan base.
Yep.
I was very lucky to drive that car and get introduced into the jet ranks, and it turned out to be a winning car, and the same with this car while in its class.
Well, the thing about that car, the USA 1 cars, all of them, they had their own thing, but the Green Mamba. The
yeah.
Mamba. I mean, everybody remembers that name. Country fairs, drag strips, stock car tracks. It's been everywhere.
Yeah, it has. It's been even in Mexico and Canada, and we even made a trip to Aruba with it.
Really?
I can just remember announcers saying, it's time to melt it down.
Doug, we appreciate you being on with us again. Anything we can do, you know how to get a hold of
really
us.
I really appreciate you guys, what you've done for me and what the fans have done. And thank you a lot. And I hope there's someday we can send out to all these people a thank you card or something, or invitation, wherever we can. If we're in the area where something came from, we'll try and get a hold of them and let them know we're there. And their names are going to be remembered. We do appreciate it, and we appreciate you guys having us down here. I'm having more fun this way.
You know what we could do is for everybody that donated, we could have like a big barbecue, and we could actually cook the food with the jet engine.
Cook the food with the Mamba.
And, well, I don't know if you want it smelling like diesel fuel, but if you did that, I'd have to bring the Green Mamba Venom drink, and over 21 can drink.
All right.
And all right. Give us your keys.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. And we'll come right back.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 Open Wheel Modified and number 94 Super Late Model. And you are listening to Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. C.J. Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you.
Our live bikes during
commercials. Heckler guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out now.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill. We're here. Jason Beckner sitting in with us tonight. How you doing, brother?
Not too bad, man. I mean,
how'd you like that, man? A little bit of history there.
Dude, I can remember seeing the Mamba at Charlotte County, when it was Charlotte County Speedway years ago when I was a kid, you know? And just they sat him down in turn three. This is when we still had the pits on the inside of the track.
Right, right.
And they chained him up to this car, and we went down to turn four. And when he lit that thing up, I mean, we're from the center of the infield all the way up to the grandstands. You could feel the heat off of it. And just the whistling noise, I mean, it was almost to the point, you know, your heart starts racing and pounding really hard because you're not really quite sure what's going to happen because you've never seen this before. And when you're a kid, you can just multiply that by, you know, 100 times.
10 million.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you just not, and when you're done, you just like mouth dropped wide open. The kid's like, I want to see that again.
Do
you know?
It again. Do it again. Did you ever get to see, you never got to see him go down a drag strip, though?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
no,
oh,
I
man.
Didn't.
That's another thrill altogether. What do you raise your hands for?
We'll be talking to Dalton here in about 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
Do I got that number?
Yes, it's the bottom number on the list there.
Man, I don't know how Bill Green does this. I don't know. I'm over here running the board tonight.
Oh,
it's awful. I could think of so many things I could be doing.
Gary LaPlante, what in the world possessed you to start a street stock touring series? This is Gary LaPlante.
Gary LaPlante.
Of the Outlaw man, Suncoast Street Stocks.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Circle the number on that for me.
I will.
It took, you know, the funny thing is it took me a while to get used to saying Outlaw Street Stocks, because years ago we used to have a class at the track that was called the Outlaw Stocks, but that was a little bit different, kind of a pure stock type deal, but that was years ago. But you guys got the Outlaw Street Stocks. You've been coming to the Charlotte County Motorsports Park. You guys keep bringing more and more cars. Plus, we got some of the Road Warriors stepping up and running with you guys. And you guys are putting on one heck of a show, man.
We appreciate it. And we appreciate putting a show on down there. And we're scheduled to be down there on 3/24, week after next. And we're expecting over 20 cars.
Night of the Green Mamba.
Yes. we're expecting probably 20, 22 cars by the count that Bobby and I have put together with the cars we put down on show for the last 3 weeks down at your track.
Joe, yep. Have you seen these cars?
Not yet. Not yet.
They look just like Sunshine Street Stocks.
10-to-1 compression motors?
Yeah. I've got the car that I drive is an old Sunshine car, the old number 3 that used to kind of dominate the track over there. I bought that about a year and a half ago from
that Bill Bryant's old car, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yes. And they're actually, what we've done is we've taken the old rules of the Sunshine Speedway. The Street Stock series kind of got out of hand with everybody going to the Camaros, the Standard Shifts. And like you guys are talking about, this series kind of went to heck with rule changes every week, this, that, changing. So I put a series together where we come up with full body cars and small body cars, no Camaros, no compacts, with the engine rules. And we've had a lot of discussions, change this, change that. And I said, no, that's what we're not going to do.
See, I kind of laugh about your no Camaro rule because my whole family raced Camaros for years.
And you know, Joe, we that's love them, what but kept the car count at Sunshine for so long. They didn't change the damn rule.
That's it. They left it. You know, the rules were 112-inch wheelbase car, 10-to-1 motor, run what, you know, make sure the weight was right and be safe and have a good time. That was when the racing was the best. 45, 50 cars would show up. Only 24 make the show. The heat races were the best races of the night at Sunshine. There many a nights I had to battle my way from the back to get to the front, and you know,
of course,
them
Craig,
pipe bumpers earn their money.
Craig
a couple
Robinson
nights.
Had come in and built the backseat car. Well, that's a whole other story.
I love it when they start reminiscing because when it comes to Camaros, I understand why you don't want the Camaros in there.
I don't have a problem with Camaros, but I got into racing about 7 years ago. Now, when I got into it, I raced at Sunshine. Over there in the old street stocks, the Camaros was called the Sportsmans. Now I still am a firm believer that the Sportsmans are Camaros, Firebirds, in that class of car, and that's where they belong. They don't belong in the street stock series with the old street stocks cars.
I agree with you 100% on that.
We have
a lot of
discussions on it, but
yep.
We've got an old Sunshine driver here, and yep. I think you agree with me 100% on what I'm trying to say.
It's not even the same class of car, period.
No.
Yeah, there's a definite advantage in having
the short wheelbase. It's narrower. You got the leaf spring rear end. It's just not even in the same class.
Yep.
But we've got a lot of inquiries about it. As I said, we've had a car on show at your Speedway for the last, I think, last 10
yep,
days
been
down
sitting
there.
Down there on Memorial Hill, soon and, to be known as Memorial Hill.
And we've had a lot of inquiries about it, and a lot of people that have called me that say that they're building cars, and some of these Sunshine boys are saying that they're going to find, you know, their cars back or come bring them out of retirement, take the dust off them, and join us.
Yeah, there's
they're just kind of see how quick the series is growing and see if it's going to last. Which we're here to stay.
What's your tranny rule?
350 turbo.
350
automatic.
Turbo, automatic.
That's it.
And do you guys have a rear gear rule also?
No.
Okay.
What about letting the guys run the manual transmissions?
No. No manuals. No standards.
Since you guys...
The old Sunshine rules. They, you know.
Well, when I raced street stocks, we had the 3 speeds in them.
Years ago they did over there. Yeah. I think they switched to the 350. When I ran over there, the 350 turbos, and that was it.
Yeah,
right.
when they started the Outlaw late models, they tried to make – they changed the rules in the street stocks to make the street stock guys move up to start the class with the
the Outlaw late models, and then they went to basically they moved the street stocks up, and then they took the Enduros and moved them up to street stocks, and that's how the automatic rule got started. And
right now, you guys are running front and rear hoop bars. You can go through the firewall, front
correct.
And back.
Either or. Right. That's why the Road Warriors, they don't have them. We're allowing them to run. To me, it's a good safety feature to have them. Even the Road Warriors should have them.
Yeah. That's just those rules for that class.
But it's their discretion if they want the front rule bars to come through or not.
Yep. I think it's been a great deal with you guys, you know, coming down there. Every week the field has been getting bigger and bigger, plus with the Road Warriors, you know, stepping up and running with you guys. I mean, you guys got some fast cars, and then you guys got some of them Road Warriors that are knocking on your back door all night long. I think it was the second night that you guys had come down to race. Shane Leonard in the 18, and I don't know who your driver's name was that won that night, but I walked into the gas station, into the Arby's, and I was like, okay, who got their fillings knocked out of their head tonight? But his driver held on to that car. It was a great, great race.
Yeah, that was Jeff Lacy. He drove my car that night because I injured my shoulder, and I decided I didn't want to drive, but he held him off for the 50 laps.
Oh, that was,
is that one
was
of the famous Lacy
race.
Boys from Auburndale?
Yes.
I've had my fair share of run-ins with them guys.
Now, if they don't come with you, can I race your car, and I'll do all the announcing from inside?
That would be a good show, and I'd like to see that. That would work.
That is true multitasking, and that's what we do on Short Track America's Real Racing USA. And we have with us on the line from North Carolina, this is how quick we move, Travis Wilson. How you doing, Travis?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing real good, man. So you're getting all set to come down to Bronson Motor Speedway to take on the 40-odd cars that are coming down there for the ASA Late Model South?
Absolutely. We're heading down there Wednesday night, as a matter of fact.
Travis, has your dad given any pointers for coming down here to that track?
Well, actually, we run there last year, first race of the year, and we run pretty good. He's given me some pointers to try to run as good as we did last year and maybe improve on a little bit.
So you did some racing down here. I couldn't quite hear that. Let me get my earphones on here. You have done some racing down here in Florida, right?
Yeah, I started racing in Florida. Actually, I started racing at Auburndale Speedway. Wow. They're close to home. I'm actually from Bartow, Florida, and that's where I started racing.
That's the county. Bartow, Florida, is the county seat of Polk County.
That's right.
That's
there
right.
There you go.
That's right.
So he's really good friends with Colt James?
Colt, yeah, I did some work with Colt James. I was working for a race team that Herman Sauer drove for. I was doing tires over there, and Colt come and did, he's a motor tuner. He was working for Yates at the time, and he come and done some work for us, and I got to be pretty good friends with him.
Your story is fairly similar to Colt's, isn't it? Didn't you move up to North Carolina and start working?
I sure did. I moved up. I actually was working for the Richard Petty Driving Experience when I moved up to North Carolina about 2 years ago, and I worked there for a few weeks, and I went over to the Hermie Sadler's race team and done tires, and now I'm at Chip Ganassi Racing.
So what are you doing there at Chip's?
Just mechanic on test team, and then if they need help elsewhere, I do that too. It's whatever they need done, really.
So when do you have time to get into late model, bro?
Well, they're pretty flexible over there. They really let me go racing whenever I need to, so they're working real good with me over there. I get to race pretty much whenever I want to.
Do you do any racing up there in North Carolina?
Last year we run some ASA races, you know, most of them actually. We run Orange County Speedway up here in North Carolina. We run Hickory. We get to go to a lot of places.
Do you run any of the late model stock races up there?
I run one UARA race in Anderson, South Carolina a few years back. Other than that, no, I sure haven't.
Yeah. So what do you see as the big challenge this coming weekend at Bronson Motor Speedway? What's it going to be like from your point of view as a driver to make the race, to do well in the race? What are the keys you're looking for?
Well, actually, on making the race part, I do believe we're locked in. I think the top 15 is locked in. But other than that, man, there's going to be some hot shoes there. Like I said, Colt's going to be there. I know Choquette, he's entered. That's just among a few, you know. Just getting qualified up front, I think that's going to be the main thing. You know, Bronson's a tough place to pass, so just get qualified up front and just have a good piece. Your car really has to be driving good there if you're going to have a shot, and that's really what you need. If you're off just a little bit there, I don't think you're going to have a chance. They're going to get under you, and you're going to get the back pretty quick. So just have a good car.
Do you pit there? You have to have pit stops, right?
100 lap show, we can run all green flag, no stop.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Front the bull ring.
Oh, I forgot it was 100 laps. I was thinking it was longer than that. I got you.
No, the south and north shows are all 100 laps, and I do the challenge race at 200 laps.
I got you. Okay, cool. Yeah. Go ahead, Rick.
So up there in North Carolina, you know Choquette and all these guys. Are those guys up there in North Carolina paying attention to these drivers down here, the hot shoes down here?
In the ASA series or down south, you mean?
Yeah.
Absolutely. A kid that run the ASA deal last year, Landon Castle, I believe he just signed on with Hendrick Motorsports. That light kid that runs the Busch car. There's a few other ones. I think the ASA series is one of the big series they're looking at now. You know, a lot of the teams here in the last couple of years have been looking at the open wheel, you know, sprint car drivers. But here of late, I think they've turned their heads towards back to the late models and the ASA series. And I think this is the place to be if you want to get noticed in that area.
How old are you, Travis?
That's what I was going to ask you.
23.
Cool.
Yep.
And how many years have you been racing?
I started racing when I was 16. I got kind of a late start, which I think it was kind of a good thing. I got half my, you know, childhood behind me, and got some other things I wanted to do and that kind of stuff. But I started racing 15, 16, started racing WKA go-karts down in Florida.
You know, Rick, we've been talking about the youth coming up and their approach to racing. Travis, you work on cars.
Right.
Does this give – is have the days passed when – I mean, do you have to be able to work on cars to make it in NASCAR? Or, you know, because we see some kids coming up who seem to have some talent.
Don't get their hands dirty.
Yeah, they seem to have the talent to get the car around a track, but they don't get their hands dirty. And we were talking about that the other day. Like, maybe that's not a good thing, or, you know, arguing about it kind of. What do you think about that? What do you see?
I don't really think you have to know anything, you know, a bunch about the cars to make it. But I promise you it helps when it comes to the driving side. If I didn't know anything about these cars and, you know, we were at a racetrack somewhere and it was tight to the center or what have you, and I didn't really know what to give back to the crew chief or whoever, you know, it makes it tough, you know, to try to get the car better that way. If you have a little bit of knowledge about the car, you can definitely put your 2 cents in and really help out on the situation. So I think it gives you a leg up, definitely. The more you know, the better it's going to be for you.
Now, your dad, you know, NASCAR racer and everything, and you didn't start racing until you were 15?
15 or 16. I might have been 16, yes, sir.
So, I mean, did you go to the tracks, though, with him and stuff?
I went to the cup races with him when I was younger, me and my mom. She towed me around, but he got out of it. I forget what. I think he got out of it full-time, like in 93 when he run for the Kings, so... I was, what, 9 years old then or something like that. So, you know, I was out. We were out of it for a long time, and we just kind of did our own thing. He did his own thing, and we just he actually bought a late model and had Edward Howe drove it. I'm sure you know Edward Howe. And it kind of got me interested in it and wanted me to race, and I finally got him talked into to buy me a go-kart. We went racing, and we just kind of been going from there.
I was actually the announcer at DeSoto Speedway when Ed Howe won that championship.
Yep, in the Timberwolf car.
Yes, sir. That was, I mean, that was one hell of a race car, too.
Yes, it was. I actually drove that car the year after they won the championship with it. We run some Goodyear Challenge with that car. That was my first year on late model. That was the first late model I ever drove.
Yeah, it's a good car. So what's the plans for Travis Wilson?
The plans this year is to run all the ASA South shows. Try to win the championship. Main thing is, though, try to win as many races as we possibly can. That's really more important than winning the championship. You know, if you win races, that championship comes. So that's the main thing. We're going to run some ASA North deals and some of the challenge, along with some super late model shows. So with a bunch of racing, I think we have about 20 or so races scheduled. So it's going to be a big year.
That sounds like the short-term plan. This is Jason from Charlotte County Motorsports Park. What's your long-term plan? Do you have any wants to move on to bigger and better things, like maybe the Craftsman Truck Series, Busch, or the Cup Series?
Oh, absolutely. I think any race car driver these days would tell you yes on that. That's what I want to do. That's why I'm up here in North Carolina. That's why I moved up here, just to get closer to it. I live right here in Mooresville, which is you know, the center of the racing world up here, and just get to know people and get my foot in the door. I've met a lot of people up here that could possibly help me out, you know, down the road. So absolutely.
Another thing, kind of part of what you just said, you know, you got a lot of young guys, a lot of young girls and kids that, you know, they've started racing young and they've got those hopes and dreams of actually getting into racing big time. For some of them folks listening, what has been what you've learned so far? What would you suggest the best way for somebody to do that? How would they get their foot in the door? What's, you know, I've always told my brother, it's surrounding yourself with good people. What have you learned along the way?
Well, you just got to get up here and just talk to people. Talk to anybody you can. Just get your face, you know, put your face out there. And if you know somebody, that helps too. I've got to be honest with you. With my dad being who he is, that definitely helped me out with getting me in the door, at least to talk to some of these people and getting me a job. You know, there at Ganassi, the general manager of Ganassi is actually Tony Glover, which was dad's crew chief on the 4-car years back. So that kind of got me a leg up on the deal, but it didn't actually get me in the door. I had to talk him in to give me a job over there. So you just got to get out and talk to people. Like I said, put your face in front of them, let them see you. And get them to like you. If they like you, they're going to help you out. That's the big thing.
Well, you know, Travis, we'll be up there Saturday night at Bronson Motors Speedway, and I have a feeling you're a guy who comes at it with a real serious approach. You just seem that way to me.
Well, I'm definitely I'm real serious about it, and I'm looking forward to coming to Bronson. I'm pumped up about it. Driving for a new race team this year. Greg's Motorsports out of Akron, Ohio. Got real good equipment. We're really going to come at it hard this year.
All right, man. We will see you Saturday night, and thank you very much for spending some time with us tonight, Travis Wilson.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Travis.
And I got to thank Matt Kentfield from Speed 51 for helping us get in touch with Travis. He was very helpful in arranging the interview with Travis Wilson tonight. And what do you think of that, Jason?
I remember watching his dad race. In fact, his dad was just down here a while back racing at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
I saw his dad one time at DeSoto in the mid-90s in a modified race. I didn't know who he was or anything, because I wasn't around stock car racing.
Right, right.
These guys were telling me that's who this guy is. He started at the back of the field. He did one of them Jefferson things. He came right to the front, won the race. It was pretty cool. Are we hooked up, Rick? So, you know... I think this next driver we're going to talk to is one of my favorite race car drivers, because she has always had kind of an uphill battle, and she has been very serious, she's been dedicated, and she has worked hard. And Michelle Theriot has graduated from the Pro Cup up to ARCA and the Busch East. How you doing, Michelle?
Great. How are you doing?
We're doing good, man. I am so glad to see you doing this. This is I think it's time for the move, and are you excited?
Am I excited? Of course I am. I mean, I can't say enough about where I've come from. Hooters Pro Cup was a great training ground for me. I learned a lot. I raced with some of the best guys, I think, in the business. It taught me a lot. But change is always good, and we're just looking forward to keep moving up with Team Glock Racing.
So basically, what is a Busch East car?
A Busch East car is exactly what it sounds. It is a Busch car. The only difference, or the major difference this year, will be that we'll be having a spec engine. So it's a little less horsepower, and our tracks are going to be usually a half mile to a mile, versus, of course, the Busch, which is in the 2.5 mile range. So that will be our biggest difference. It's a 14 race series, and we'll be traveling pretty much up and down the East Coast and Midwest.
How far south do you go?
We go to Greenville Pickens.
Okay.
Be South Carolina.
So you do get around some traveling. You actually did more traveling with the Hooters Pro Cup, though, didn't you?
Well, being that I ran both the Northern Series and Southern Series, so between the both, yeah, I guess you could say I covered pretty much everywhere.
Now, tell me, how in the world did you get the Glock sponsorship?
Honestly, I think a lot of our prayers and hard work were finally just answered. It was just a lot of cold calls we made. We knew Dad couldn't afford it anymore, and I wanted to keep racing, so it was pretty much up to our family to go out and see what we could find. And to be honest with you, Glock was probably one of our last phone calls. We'd pretty much thought we called everybody. And someone who is a big fan of Glock recommended us that we just, you know, give them a call. And that's exactly what we did, and it went from there.
And, you know, it's so cool. I hadn't been to your website
in
a long time. And when I saw that the other day, you with that gun, that was just, that's too cool.
That's bad to the bone.
It turned out to be a great fit. I think Glock was looking for a person like myself that was in the demographic that they were looking for. And I myself, to be honest with you, I'd not known much about guns before I was introduced to Glock. And I think it's a great campaign showing that even a girl like me, a race car driver, can learn how to safely use a gun. And then I love to do it now.
Yeah.
So do you? How do you feel about the race coming at Lakeland here now? You know, we've got to get down to serious brass tacks with this deal, huh?
I mean, honestly, I don't think of a better track we could start at. I've had previous experience at Lakeland, of course, in the Hooters Pro Cup Series. In fact, that was my career best finish, which was 7th. So there, you take out one of the variables. I know the track. As far as the car, the ARCA car is pretty similar. I think the biggest difference will be the bias ply tire. But we went down and tested and had really good results. So I think it's just going to be getting back in the swing of racing and keep my head on straight and finish the race.
Now, Michelle, the ARCA car that you're going to race at Lakeland is essentially a NASCAR Cup car, right?
Exactly. It really is. It's got about 825 horsepower. Like I said, the biggest difference for this race, normally we will run radial tires, but for the shorter track, we will run a bias ply tire.
So now, with the Glock sponsorship, do you think that keeps any of the guys from bouncing off of you?
If I was a guy, I think it would. No, I mean, I think bottom line is, we've been finishing the races. We haven't been wrecking people. We've kept the cars clean, and I've been competitive. And I think that's what it's all about, is just getting the respect and letting the drivers know, hey, I'm here to race, not to be a girl in the Glock car.
Now, is this right? You ran quarter midgets for 7 years, and you had 200 wins in 13 states?
Yep, that's correct.
That's a lot of wins.
And then she went and tore them up in Legends.
Yeah, actually, it's a funny story. We came down to Atlanta so I could pursue racing, because up north you have to be practically 16 to race anything else. So my dad had a job opportunity, and really it was decided because I wanted to continue racing. And we came down here. We bought a Legend car. Didn't really have high expectations for the first year because it was something new. And that was when I won my first championship that year and won like 15 races. So it was a great year.
And then you graduated up into late models?
Right. We did Legend cars for around 2.5 years. And then we did the Pro Late Model NASCAR Series at Lanier National Speedway. And then we tinkered with some Super Late Model races as well.
What was it like being part of that reality show, The Drive?
It was an experience, to say the least. There was some good and there was some bad. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not afraid to be in front of a camera now. And I think that definitely helped for my marketing and whatnot and getting used to that, because as you move up, let's face it, you're going to get more and more coverage. So that part of the experience is really well. It did get me some notoriety, people who probably didn't know who Michelle Theriot was, but they were with me for my whole senior year at high school, so that was kind of hard.
Graduated with a 4.0, too.
Absolutely. Wow.
This is Jason from Charlotte County Motorsports Park. You could actually tell your progression through the television show, The Drive, that you definitely got a lot more comfortable doing the PR stuff in front of the camera. So kudos on that. And I didn't talk to Jack before I came down because I thought you were going to be in studio. I actually brought my Glock with me. I was going to have her sign it.
You brought your Glock with you?
Yeah. I got a concealed weapons permit.
You take the weekend off from Charlotte County, the 24th.
I can't do that.
Well, I got an assistant. I can. I'm doing it.
Michelle, we're here live at the Snook River Grill, where we do the show from every Tuesday night, Real Racing USA. And one of the folks here with us tonight asked a question. If you've ever practiced with online simulators, like Dale Jr. or Denny Hamlin or any of those guys do, because there's a bunch of race fans, obviously, that do that sort of thing, and they were curious if you ever did that.
To be honest with you, I haven't. I've definitely tried it before, but right now we're actually looking into buying one of those simulators with the whole computer screen and everything. That way I'm just constantly getting used to these tracks, because, of course, bottom line, seat time is seat time. But when you can't be at the track, the simulator is definitely your best option. So it's funny you guys asked that, because the past 2 weeks we've talked a lot about getting one of those simulators for me.
So when you when they have the fan autograph sessions and stuff like that at Lakeland on the 24th, will you have frisbees and all that, the Glock frisbees, or what's the gimmick for this year?
Well, one thing you can count on with Glock, we'll always go in with a bang. So I can't tell you right now. It's a surprise. We're still trying to figure out last-minute things, what we'd like to do. But like last year, Frisbees, like you said, was a great hit. And we'll always try to think of something new for the fans, because bottom line, it is about the fans.
And you got diecast.
We do have diecast, and we will be coming out with a few more this year. So definitely keep your eyes open on that, too.
All right. Well, we're really looking forward to it. I tell you, I'm sure there'll be, because a lot of people down in South come to the Lakeland races, from not just from Florida, but North Carolina, Georgia, and so forth, Alabama, the people down South who are just race fans who love to come to the short track races like that. They're going to pack them in for ARCA. It's going to be a huge show.
It's going to be a huge event.
It really is, especially being that it is ARCA's first time there. I think that'll even add another aspect to why people will want to come.
Absolutely. I already know two announcers at racetracks who begged off duty that night to
be
at the track.
Off.
Yeah,
I'm
I mean, it's amazing. If people are.
I told them they just played the damn radio. I'm going.
It's gonna be exciting.
Best of all, for all the Northerners coming down, it'll be great weather.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been 85 here for the last 3 days, so, it's pretty cool.
I don't have anybody that can fill in for me
anymore. All right, Michelle. We just look. Thanks very much for spending some time with us tonight. Look
really
forward to
it.
And I'm sure during the year we'll be talking to you from time to time. And we'll see you on the 24th at Lakeland.
She's the true gunslinger.
Absolutely. Oh, be sure, before you go, I got one question. I have to ask you this. It almost got by me, but I got to ask you this. Do you have any? Do you talk to the other lady drivers who race in the ARCA deal?
Yes, actually, I'm friends with, like, Ashley Parlett.
Mm-hmm.
I actually became good friends with her when I did the Fast Track Driving School.
Uh-huh.
So there really is, I know a lot of people say there's, the rivalry there.
You and Gabby, for instance.
Right. And, of course, the media likes to stir it up. But I got to be honest with you. Us girls, we'd rather stick together and try to work together than go against each other, because we're going against enough as it is.
Yeah.
And I think having the friendship there actually makes it a lot easier for all of us.
Y'all are just too smart.
No doubt.
Thank you very much, Michelle. We will see you at Lakeland on the 24th of March.
Oh, great. And thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. And for all the fans, too, we will keep our website up to date periodically with new collectibles and things from Glock as well. So just go to www.michelletheriault.com.
And we'll put a link to that again on Short Track America. It's already on Karnak. We'll put it on Short Track America.
Great.
See you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Karnak.com, your online racing community since 1997. Karnak.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Karnak.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Karnak gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy."
Well, pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feeding frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Live from the Snook River Grill, Short Track America, Real Racing USA. Getting ready to pick up the phone lines. Got a famous Florida driver for you. Infamous.
Infamous.
Dalton Zier.
Dalton,
you
there?
How you doing?
Hey, Dalton.
How you doing, man?
Real good.
All right.
You ready for this big weekend?
Yeah, I'm ready. It's going to be a real fun weekend. Looking at the website, they have over 40 cars pre-entered for this race.
This is going to be one big late model race, probably one of the biggest the state's seen in a while.
Yeah, and we've already talked to six winners.
Six winners.
Yeah.
And now we're talking to the seventh, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The seventh, the true and only one of this time.
So you have how many hundreds of laps do you have on Bronson Motor Speedway's Bullring?
I would say probably with testing and everything 1,000.
Wow.
In the trucks and the cars all put together, probably 1,000 top.
So you drive it with feeling?
Well, yeah. The first, couple hundred of those laps, though, were when I was younger, and I didn't know what I was doing.
Gotcha. So one thing.
A lot since then.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Dalton, last year you really came on strong in the ASA late model series. How good is it that they're bringing the series to Florida now?
Oh, that's real good for us because we live here in Florida, and, it makes it easier on us when we're traveling to the tracks, and we're familiar with a couple of them. So I like it, I'm glad they're coming further south than north this year. It'll make for a good season for us, and I think it'll make more cars show up at the tracks because it's more grouped together. All the races are grouped in the south.
And the competition in the ASA, man, that's some tough stuff right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good drivers in ASA, and, the motors, they stay on top of them so that everybody has the same motor. And, they got price rules on a lot of the parts on the cars. So, it really comes down to drivers and how well you can get that chassis to work.
Well, we were just talking to Travis Wilson just a few minutes ago, and he let us know that there's no doubt those guys up in North Carolina are thinking and talking about some of the Florida guys, Choquette, yourself, and others.
Yeah, Beach Fest was just a little bit ago, and the Northern guys put up a real good fight, but, the South guys just seem to have it down, It's real tough competition here in Florida, and when my dad first came down here for Speed Weeks, he found that out real quick. When he lived up in Idaho, he came down here for Speed Weeks, and it was tough. He ran top of the field in up north, and here in Florida, it got tough.
Yeah, Clay Rogers, who's won a couple of Pro Cup championships, has told us several occasions that he's commented on several occasions on our shows about the level of talent down here. But you're not just going to show up as part of to race there. From what I understand, Dalton Zier Racing has hooked up with Camp Boggy Creek in a sponsorship arrangement for this event.
Yeah, they don't do any money towards promoting the Camp Boggy Creek, so we thought we'd help them out and do a little bit of promoting at launch and for them, and they're real excited about it, and we're glad to be helping them out.
Tell us a little bit about Camp Boggy Creek and what that whole deal's about and how you got involved.
Camp Boggy Creek is for children that are sick or that can't really perform in activities with other kids or something. And it's just a real fun camp area for them that gives them a chance to hang out with other kids and go fishing and just have a real good time. And it's all volunteer. So the doctors are volunteer. They can be treated at the facility. And it's just a real fun thing for the kids.
Yes.
And we first got associated with it through Bob Bowles, who volunteers a lot of his time there, and it sounded really great to us, and we just wanted to help him out.
So is this something like Victory Junction, something on that order, where they do things to help out the kids who aren't so fortunate?
Yeah, they say that Victory Junction came down and saw what they were doing at Camp Boggy Creek and decided that that's what they wanted to. They based it off of Camp Boggy Creek.
Oh, so it was actually the Victory Junction was created as a result of people seeing what was going on in Boggy Creek.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, that's interesting. So this event will be able to give them some publicity and maybe help them out a little bit financially and so forth.
Yeah, we hope to raise some money for that for Camp Boggy Creek. They might be having some kids come out to the race just to, you know, have a good time, and they'll enjoy it, I hope. And I think it'll be a real good deal for them. I mean, everybody's getting excited about it, and I think they'll raise some money at this show.
Well, cool. I think they will, too, because, this race, a lot of fans are going to show up for this race because it's getting a lot of exposure nationwide.
Absolutely.
I mean, the ASA deal has really blown up in the last 2 years to where it's a really the nation is looking at this.
It's getting a lot of media coverage.
And with NASCAR basically dumping the late model series that they have, this is a perfect timing for this series to come in. And you guys that are racing it, you younger guys like you and Travis and Colt James and this, it's perfect timing for you guys.
Yeah, it's real good for us, and this division's a real good division if you're looking to come up in racing or just, you know, be with a real tough competitors. You know, I mean, that's why we're in it, and we think it'll better ourselves as a team and as a driver that, you know, so that when it gets to the point where it is a level playing field for everybody, I won't be behind, and I'll know what I'm doing.
So what are you? What does Dalton Zier do these days when you're not at the track racing? What are you up to?
Well, today I was building stocks for the car and scaling the car with the guys, getting ready for Bronson. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my days go out are a lot like that. Race cars all the time, and it's great. I love it.
How old are you, Dalton?
I am 16.
Are you homeschooled or you go to regular school? How do you do that?
I am homeschooled, and I started homeschooling just before I turned 15, and because I was going to ASA racing, and I wouldn't be able to go ASA racing and go to a public school because I'd get way far behind.
Now, you did say 26, right? Not 16.
60.
Seems like you've been around for a long, long time, man.
And second in the points last year, right?
Yeah, that was second in points and runner up in for rookie of the year.
Well, now you, since what we were leading up to here, we're kind of leading up to a question that we've been talking about and asking some of the younger drivers about. Now, you work on cars. I've seen you on your television show. Do you still do that show, by the way?
No, we're no longer doing that show.
Okay, but I've seen you doing that, and I mean, you work on the cars, and you get your hands dirty. What we're curious about is, and we were talking with Travis Wilson about this, is, you know, how big of an advantage is it, or how big of a disadvantage is it for those drivers who are coming up, who are youngsters, who don't really work on the cars, and they, you know, you see them after the race, you know, they're off with their girlfriends or whatever, and other people are working on the cars, and they don't really know what it's like underneath the car and all that. I mean, is it an advantage, disadvantage? How do you see it?
I see it as an extreme disadvantage because for a couple reasons is that if you're not around the shop knowing what the guys are changing, then you can't have an input on what the car effects are. Like, that, what you guys did last week was didn't help me. You know, I mean, well, they could have done 30 different things. You know what I mean? And I don't see a future in racing if you're not going to get underneath those cars these days. I mean, you don't stand much of a chance if you don't know what is happening to the car.
You know, Dalton, we're kind of up against the clock here tonight, but I'll tell you what. I'd like to have you come back with us in a month down the road here, maybe a week, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. We'll arrange a night when we can really spend some time with you, because we really like to talk about. I know I've talked to you a few times, and we've never really been able to like really talk about in depth. You have a lot of knowledge, especially for a youngster, and I think you can impart. You've accomplished a lot in a short period of time. A lot, and I think that you could not only improve a lot of fans' point of view about like what racing is about really. But I think you could also help some other people who are some of these youngsters coming up. What do you think,
Frank? Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Sounds awesome. I mean, how about I give you guys a call Monday after Bronson?
Absolutely.
After he wins.
Tuesday.
Yeah, we're here on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we'll see you. We'll actually see you, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday up there, no doubt. I mean, on Saturday up there, so you got me on it now.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll see you this Saturday, the 17th. We'll be there bright and early. We'll be there by noon.
Okay, bright and early.
That's bright and early for Jack, brother. Dalton, it's great having you on the show again, man. We're looking forward to talking to you Tuesday night.
All right, it was nice talking to you guys.
Okay, thank you, man. We'll see you soon. Right.
Yes, sir. Dalton's here.
Yeah.
He's well-spoken, man.
Absolutely.
Travis, he's well-spoken. You know, they all are. It's amazing. You can tell. You just get a feeling about some of them, you know?
An intensity.
But then you get a feeling about the other ones, too.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know, I won't name any names or anything, but we've talked.
But there's a separation that occurs. Now, let's get back here to what's the bottom line with modifieds and street stocks? Joe Cool?
Put a set of rules on them. Leave them alone, period.
Y'all racing DeSoto this weekend?
Yes, sir.
I'll be right back.
So, I mean, John's got the rules. Those are the rules, right? Those rules?
He posted what the payout was. He posted what the pre-entry was. Posted what the laps were. No car minimum. None of that. It's a flat. If 500 cars show up, the payout's the same.
See, that's one thing he's learned over the years. You know, even back then, that he used to be big on, if it's this many cars, we pay this much.
Yep.
This much. And he's come to find out that just post a payoff, and that's what you're going to get.
Yep. That's what I look at whenever when I look on the website. That's what I'm looking for. I mean, what's the payout going to be?
And there are some tracks that still run that way. You know, the payoff thing, which I can understand that too. You know, it's a matter of money.
When you post a purse on the website or on the message board there, you know, and then you don't put the entry fee on there, that's a big slap in the face when you get to the back gate and you're not expecting it. That's a $100 expense that you're not expecting.
And every $100 is a big deal.
That's another black eye, you know. So
What's the
average entry fee at any other track?
It's usually $1 a lap.
Pretty much.
It's $1 a lap.
Okay.
So, you know, and I to me, what Bobby posted for the payout for that race for twin 50s wasn't enough money. $1,000 for 100 laps, it ain't going to cut it. That should have been at least a $2,000 race. The 125, the race of champions, that's like $3,000
to win, right?
Yeah. You know, make it worth coming.
Yeah.
If you're going to put on a race like that, make it worth coming.
Yeah.
If you do that, the guys will come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, running twin 50s for the way he had that set up, you know, if you ran the first race and you had some problems and you couldn't make the second one, you were screwed.
I've never been a fan of
You think they should have just
race.
Ran a straight 100
they
lap
They should have
race.
Ran a straight 100 lap race.
And, never
and
been
to say
a fan
that
of twin
somebody
races.
Cannot
I mean, granted,
make,
that's what I would have liked to see.
Yeah,
you know.
That's exactly. I mean, we ran the blue gray race up in Ocala. We ran 200 laps there. The cars will go 100 laps. If it won't go 100 laps, it's because somebody didn't put gas in the car.
Exactly.
There is no reason why a car cannot go 100 laps.
Right. Plus, it's real 100... nice when the made-inch slicks get real used up.
Yep. Yep. That was a fun race at Ocala. We had a very good time up there. We got into some bad luck there towards the end of the race. But, you know, for our first time ever going to that racetrack, you know, and dealing with Mike and Angie and Lou... That was
it's quite a crew to deal
yes,
with. Too.
Yes,
they're great people.
We went up there for the 2-day show, and that has been the best time I've had at a racetrack in probably six years.
We hear that all the time.
We went to Dirt Track, and we went to New Smyrna, and we should have went to Ocala.
It was a good show.
So, I had a thought here. Maybe what we could do is, and we got a few minutes.
Yeah.
We got a few minutes. Maybe what we could do is get some of you guys who race – the modifieds who race the smaller motors, and some of you guys who race like to race the bigger motors, and all come on in one night and
have a modified show.
There's some really good.
I'm telling you. I mean, I love
open wheel modifieds.
Late models.
Is exciting.
I you know, and the lower classes of cars I love too, and sprint cars and all that.
It's a driver's class.
The modifieds,
it is
man.
An absolute
the modifieds
driver's class.
Have the best drivers.
They are the most underused.
And like the drivers up there running super late models, like Schofield.
Yep.
Open wheel modified driver.
Yep.
You know, they've done their time. Lee Collins went up to super late models, come back down to modifieds.
Yep.
It's a wheeling class.
Hauser, remember?
Steve Hauser.
Let's put them all in Outlaw Street Stocks, Gary.
That'd be a good show.
Yep.
We could have cars from take over.
It would be.
It's how many you got left.
When Rick decided one year he was going to be a promoter, and he had a street stock.
The Southern Street Stock National. Do you remember
Yep. That's right. Yep.
I did it, too.
And he did it. And he did it in the middle of chaos. That was the year that DeSoto changed hands. And the track
had a 23-car race. It was the C-Fest, and it was the best race of the C-Fest that day.
But you know what I remember? Is who's the guy? Junior Purcell.
Junior Purcell.
And
Wallace Ramsey.
And his car. Wallace Ramsey.
Right.
And that was the show.
Yeah.
And their cars. One of them's car blew
they
up.
They blew up both of them.
Yeah. Both of them blew up.
Yeah.
Didn't Wilson win that? The 42.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dennis Wilson.
That's right. Yep. But that was very
1500
cool.
1500 to win.
But you had Junior Purcell, and I mean, it was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
25 cars. It was great. It was fun.
It's fun to watch Junior. He was the man back in the day.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
If we could take the Wayne Andersons and the Jeff Schuchats and the Jeff Schofields and you know, the guys that, you know, people come to see.
Yeah.
We could put them all in one of your street stocks and have an invitational race. We could hack the place. I'm telling you.
It'd be better.
Might be a good promotion for your series, too.
We may look at that.
It might be a good promotion for your series.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be pretty wild.
I want my commission.
Okay. I think you just go out there to Yellow Cab and get you about 15 cabs and put them all in cabs and throw a number on the side of them, turn them loose. That would be the show.
That would be a show.
Yeah, but most of them, you're going to have to make them stop and pay for fares and everything else.
Make them stop and pick people up and drop them off as part of the race.
And make change.
Gary, when's your next race, bro?
In Charlotte Harbor, it's 3/24, a week after next Saturday.
Cool.
Okay, Rick, we did not get to all the guests here. Who did we miss? So
Travis Cope we didn't get to. Don Ream we didn't get to.
Okay, Travis Cope will be racing this weekend, I do believe, at New Smyrna Speedway. And we will talk to Travis here really soon, no doubt. He drove a fantastic race at Lakeland. And, you know, he didn't just win that because he had some kind of bigger motor or something than anybody else. He had to really work for that win. He did really good. And Don Ream,
is we'll talk to him here real soon because they have, again, this coming Friday and Saturday, they're racing Friday night at Ocala Speedway, Saturday night at Columbia Motorsports Park's half mile, and that's a killer. They're going to pack that place there. And then they're going to be coming to Charlotte County Motorsports Park again. They haven't been there.
The return.
Yes. They haven't been there in almost 2 years.
Thank God.
And they will be there.
Do you remember when we used to go down there and watch those guys?
I was there. The last time that they were at Charlotte County Speedway, I was in the infield, and Don Reams at the end of the race was laughing at me because I was completely out of it. I wanted off that track so bad because I'm in the middle. I'm scared to death.
I think the last time they were there, the pits were still in the middle. They still had the inside wall, didn't they?
No. No.
It's been a long time since they've been there.
There was no pits. The pits had been moved out. It was when Leroy had the place. But I was in the middle of the infield watching this, and it's like, okay, it's one thing at New Smyrna. At Charlotte County, you're right in the middle of this, man. I mean, these things are like, you can't focus on them. They're going too damn fast.
I thought I was going to be cool one night, and I got up in the flag stand. I'm gonna announce it from the flag stand. I lost about 3 layers of skin. I got sandblasted up in that flag stand. I don't know how Wild Child does it. That was the last time for me.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Thank you guys for coming in.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
Yep. We're definitely going to do that modified show.
All right.
Get Robbie's candy ass in here.
Yep, I'll definitely give my 2 cents worth. Yep.
Next week we're going to be talking with some kart people. We might have, we may do some stuff with ARCA too, since ARCA has come into Lakeland on the 24th.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, Don Radabaugh
will
be with us. He's the PR director for ARCA. He will be with us. I think Frank Kimmel, I'm not positive yet, but I think Frank Kimmel is going to be with us. And we're also going to have a room full of go-kart racers.
Go-karting next week.
Yeah.
You got to let me know about the Kimmel thing. I got a driver for you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll Kimmel's got the big race coming up. So, anyway, Rick, take it to the limit.
All right. Thank you all
Real
for
Racing
listening tonight.
USA.
Real Racing USA.
Thank you.
Don't forget, Tuesday, March 20th, Charlotte County Motorsports Park, 5 a.m. in the morning. Going to be live, WFTX Fox News 4.
Shameless plug.
Oh, I know. I have to. It's going to be a lot of good time. Everybody's going to get on TV.
I'll be there.
Wave. We'll get you on TV, Jack.
You guys will all be up. I'll be getting ready to go to bed.
I'm going to be spending the night at the track.
With his Glock.
With my Glock.
Next Tuesday night, 7 to 9
p.m. Oh, yeah.
PM,
lights are going to be
right
on.
Here at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in beautiful Bradenton, Florida. Real Racing USA, part of the Short Track America Network. We'll see you next Tuesday night. Good night now.
There's nothing to believe in. One more time.